Good day, everyone. My name is Brian Yeager, an Associate Director for InfoTrends Digital Marketing and Media Trends Service. And I want to thank you all for attending today's book business webinar sponsored by OSE, Book Publishing, Pushing Profit with Digital Technology. And to give you a little bit of an overview about what we're going to talk about today, digital print production techniques make it possible to publish books in quantities of one or even several hundred. The new digital print model replaces costly, time-consuming manual techniques with automated processes that minimize risk for publishers by printing books in shorter runs or even on demand. In digital book production, it isn't just a different way of printing and binding books. It's really an approach that alters the entire book publishing value chain, enables better book lifecycle management, and allows for book printers to alternate runs between offset and digital based on a title's lifecycle and other needs. So today what we're going to do is we're going to explore how digital print technology profitability impacts everyone involved in book publishing and the production value chain, including some of the enabling technologies to drive short-run books on demand, how publishers are leveraging digital book production to drive their own profitability, and how book manufacturers are profitably meeting the needs of publishers with these different types of solutions. Before we get started, let me point out a few quick tips to make the most of today's live webinar for you. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also find the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions during and at the end of the hour, so you can send them in at any time. Please feel free to do that. We'd love to hear from you. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can utilize all the widgets and the bells and whistles of the console that you're using. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all the widgets of this console actually do and how you can customize it for your experience today. So today I'm joined by two great speakers that will tell their story about how digital print book production is driving profits in their businesses. And first up, we have Adam Whitwer, the Director of Publishing Technology at O'Reilly Media. A little bit of background on O'Reilly. They were founded in 1978. They're the publisher of the iconic Animal Books for software developers, and they've built a business of spreading the knowledge of innovators through the books, online services, magazines, research, and conferences that the company provides. Our second speaker today will be Kent Larson, and he is the Vice President of Bridgeport National Bindery. Bridgeport National Bindery has made its name on providing bookbinding of high quality and has adapted its business over the years to include print-on-demand services, a lot of which we'll be talking about today with Kent. Just as an agenda, I'll be giving a quick introduction with some market overview information. Adam will be talking about digital printing and how O'Reilly Media is using digital printing. And then Kent will talk about how his business, Bridgeport National Bindery, is pushing profits with digital print technology that they have in place. So just to start out today, if we look at the executive summary of the 2011 BookStats Annual Comprehensive Study on the U.S. publishing industry, it shared a lot of interesting things about the role of technology and how it's shaping the publishing industry. Technology has really changed how content is created, formatted, designed, stored, printed, digitized, distributed, and sold. And as a result, new content products are being created, new channels are emerging, and revenues are really shifting among the different formats. So the revenue mix is diversifying more within the book publishing world. I think you're probably all familiar with that. These changes have really touched virtually all participants in the book publishing industry. That includes authors, publishers, service providers, printers, manufacturers, wholesalers, retailers, and consumers, everybody in between. This technology has really democratized the publishing process. It really offers virtually anyone the ability to publish their own books, publish their own information out, while also providing new opportunities for some traditional publishers to streamline their operations and reach broader audiences. If we look at the book publishing industry in general, From 2008 to 2010, the U.S. publishing industry grew almost 6%, 5.6%, and resulted in almost $28 billion in net revenue from over 2.5 billion units sold in 2010. And you know, we really find that modern technology and services are key drivers to this growth in the publishing industries. You know, technology across the book publishing value chain is driving help to drive this growth. It's really driving this growth. Advancements in content creation technologies such as template-driven book design, graphic design software, layout and composition tools, and content management, they've all helped streamline workflows and lower production costs for traditional publishers, and they've created a new market for self-publishers, as we mentioned. We look at companies like Blurb and Lulu.com. They really empower individuals to create, produce, and sell their books online using different types of software tools, while other companies, like we'll talk about with Bridgeport National Bindery, are really providing print production platforms to enable larger publishers to produce a book of one, the on-demand books, or short-run books versus doing longer runs with offset. And to that point, digital print workflow technologies enable publishers to reduce their risk, reduce their inventories, and lower their capital expenditures. And these cost savings are allowing companies to reinvest in new business models, new formats, and new distribution channels. The cumulative effect of these results is an expanded number of titles and more channels to reach consumers, to reach those readers that want to actually read that content and access that content. So, you know, if we look, why is digital printing critical to drive profitability in book publishing? InfoTrends, actually in partnership with Book Business Magazine, we conducted a study of over 100 book publishers earlier this year to help answer some of these questions about digital printing and how it's driving profitability. And you know, we all know in the publishing industry, there's a lot of emphasis being placed on creating, distributing, and monetizing e-books and other types of electronic content. But it's important if we look at the chart here, you know, it's important to remember that print books still represent 3/4 of publishers' revenues on average. And while publishers continue to pursue a strategy with e-books, and they should continue to pursue that strategy, you know, they need to make sure that they're extracting the profits out of their print publications, their print titles, that really make up most of the share of their revenues. And you know, what we find is that digital on-demand print technology really helps publishers reach greater profitability with their print titles as they continue to diversify the revenue mix with e-books and other types of digital publications. And if we look at that same study, book publishers are certainly understand the importance of digital printing to their business. And it's shown in the chart. Offset printing is still used today for over half of printed books on average, according to our respondents in the survey, digital printing has gained a lot of momentum. And if you look in 3 years where book publishers say they predict their processes to move to, they really anticipate that digital printing will usurp offset, that well over half of books are expected to be digitally printed by 2015. And so, you know, that really shows that a lot of publishers are looking at digital printing, looking at that opportunity, and willing to make a switch over the next few years to try and drive profits and more efficiencies in the way that they produce print books. And in you know, advances in digital print productivity will continue to push costs down, and advances in quality will attract even more publishers to investigate and eventually utilize digital print book production, because there are a lot of advantages with on-demand and short-run digital printing. You know, and we've done some research on the print volume side as well from an InfoTrends perspective, and our recent forecast that we came out with on digital print volume really confirms that books will continue to shift from offset to digital printing in a big way. Over the next 5 years, digital print volume for book applications specifically will grow by a whopping 52 billion pages, and at a pretty healthy compound annual growth rate of 14%. And this growth is really going to be driven by some of the aforementioned productivity improvements in quality, and you know, more digital book production services are going to become available for publishers that are actually striving for profitability out of the print titles and really want to use digital printing in a more strategic way within their business. And, you know, not only does streamlining book production with digital printing drive profitability from a productivity perspective, that's an important part, but it also frees up book publishers to focus on other profit-generating initiatives and strategies to help grow their businesses even more and in more diverse types of ways. We asked publishers in the study that we conducted about which activities of their business they were focused on in terms of growing their business. And, you know, some of the top-ranking items like publishing technology standards, new print and media trends, new business models, content monetization, all of these activities are critically important to ensure the future profitability for book publishers in print and beyond. So, you know, they need to make sure that they're leveraging their print most effectively and being able to look at new opportunities with the business models and some of the other things that are related to technology. And to really emphasize this point from the publishing perspective, I really want to turn it over to our first speaker, Adam Whitwer from O'Reilly Media. And he's going to provide some great insight from the publisher perspective on O'Reilly's experience with adding digital printing into their production mix and some of the benefits and existing challenges that they face with digital printing. So, Adam, please take it away.
Thanks, Brian. I'm going to flick to the next slide here. My name is Adam Whitwer. I'm the Director of Publishing Technology at O'Reilly Media. As Brian sort of covered in the opening opening few slides there, O'Reilly, our company motto is spreading the knowledge of innovators, and we do that through our books, our technology books, online services, magazines, research, tech conferences, headquartered in Sebastopol, California. It's near Santa Rosa. I work in Cambridge, Mass. With a large pool of editorial and production folk. Approximately 120 titles per year and a large backlist of about 2,000 titles, which made things interesting. And I'll talk more about that as we go. So that's O'Reilly. And we started to think about digital printing for many different reasons. The traditional print cycle, and I'm sure you all know it, but I'll sort of go through it, right? So a book comes up, the editorial presents it, it is approved, we're going to print it, and the publisher inherits that risk because of the upfront printing cost. It's expensive. So you have to take a guess about what's going to sell into the retail market. So you take that guess, and you base it on some sales data, and you base it on maybe, if the technology's hot and you think it's going to stay hot, and that kind of thing. And then you make a guess and you print. And if you're lucky, they all sell through. Or if you're good, you know, they all sell through. And maybe that works well. But in 3 months, maybe they're gone and you have to reprint. And then you have to do the whole thing over again. You know, where are we in the technology? Can we print another 10,000 of this? Should it only be 5,000? And that cycle is very painful, not just from a sort of inventory management point of view, it is, but also from the perspective of when you lose, you can lose really big. If you guess wrong and you overprint, you're sitting on a stock, you know, potentially in the millions of dollars or more, and it just sits there in the warehouse and eventually you have to make a decision about what you're going to do with that. So we were looking to end that cycle. So from a high level, that's what we were looking at. And for a long time, we were thinking about this, obviously, for a long time, like I'm sure many of you have been. And for a long time, we didn't feel like the technology was quite there. That was one thing. Cost was also very prohibitive, of course. But also, we didn't think the quality was good enough at that time. And over, you know, we continued throughout my tenure here at O'Reilly. I remember, you know, several years back, be asking for samples, thinking about whether or not it worked for our content. We have a lot of, for instance, we have our authors present information on a lot of screenshots, you know, screenshots of the technology that they're using. How did those screenshots come through on a digital printer, you know? And for a long time, we didn't feel like it was there. But more and more over time, we saw the samples really making drastic improvements over time, and we started to think that, okay, we're getting close if this is really a viable option. And what we've been wanting to do about making inventory management easier and better and less expensive, we started to think that it was a reality. So we partnered with LSI, which is a company owned by Ingram and ran by Ingram. Ingram's, it was a natural fit for O'Reilly. We have a long-term business relationship with them, and it made sense for us for many reasons for us to work with LSI. And we worked with them and spun up. We made an announcement in Q1 2011 at the TOC conference, which is a conference that O'Reilly runs for technology publishing. And we made that announcement then, and we've been going with it ever since. I was a part of the initial onboarding team, and there were just a handful of us. And there were, the operational details were daunting, especially at first. And this goes right up and down, the entire sort of, from the time the book is conceived to the time the book is printed and distributed. It potentially affects things like editorial schedules. Not a lot, but it can. So you have to think about that as well. And I think that was the biggest challenge. And also I think another big challenge was sort of understanding each other's business. And from that point of view, you know, LSI is not a publisher, and they also did not print traditional offset. So there was a lot of talking through about what the expectations were and what the challenges were on both sides, and just sort of rethinking and negotiating that through. And winding down long partnerships with other vendors was also a very big deal for us at O'Reilly. You know, we had formed these long partnerships with other printers. And, I mean, they were almost like family. As you guys know, if you work with a vendor for a long time, they become almost like family. And that was hard. Besides the relationship part of it, there was also a lot of details to work through in terms of, well, we had said, usually printers would purchase paper on our behalf. So we had a lot of paper on the floor that we were more or less obligated to, so that we had to work through and wind down. You know, so it wasn't overnight, okay, this is it. It's over. Click a button, and we're just doing this. There was definitely a winding down period of the traditional model into a ramping up period of the POD model, print on demand. So there were quality concerns and shifting expectations along the way, and I could speak to this from a number of different angles. You know, the business had sort of made this decision that we were doing this, so we had to definitely look at what that meant for our books and talk publishers and authors through it, and also make maybe adjustments to the way we did things and the way we prepared books and the way that we gave guidelines to authors, just because we wanted to optimize things more for this digital printing. And, of course, all projects are not suitable for digital printing, and that remains true today. So for us personally right now, we're sticking with one color, and I think Kent is going to talk about some four-color solutions, and I know that's coming along, and we're excited about the possibilities there as well. But for now, we're just using one-color books, and our partner LSI was very flexible in terms of trying to do things like adapt their machines to use our normal trim sizes, increase the number that they could they had a max page count they couldn't hit, but they made that adjustment so that they could do it for our larger technical reference books. Sometimes, you know, as long as 1,000 pages, less now, but a lot in the backlist. And the other thing is that I think probably maybe was the biggest wake up call I realized is inventory management doesn't just disappear under this model. Throughout the inventory management remains a challenge of sorts, especially when not all projects are suitable for digital printing. So there are some. So now we've got these sort of two buckets, right? Some of which we're managing through old channels, through the way that we used to do books, and then we've got this other bucket where things are just flowing through in POD. The books that are in the POD program are really beautiful, in that you do literally put it into the program and you do not think about it, because it creates a kind of virtual inventory. And your books are just always there and available for retail channels to purchase. and sell through to customers. So that's really nice, and you know, we're out of that, we're out of that cycle. But when some projects aren't suitable, and this might also be not just for color, I should probably say, maybe really high profile titles where we want to use a specialized paper, or if you have a really highly customized book that you, you know, you want to do the sort of traditional handcraft publisher thing, that is great for some projects, and depending on what kind of books publish, and maybe all your projects or most of your projects, in which case maybe a POD model wouldn't be ideal. But most of our books, Brian referred to as sort of templated publishing earlier in the talk, and I think that's most, that makes up the bulk of our books, something probably around the 85% area. So most of our books sort of look and feel similar along a few brands or sort of design lines, right? So there's maybe five or six different series. So that makes them, that makes, you know, we can sort of lock it down in those series, and that makes the POD model okay for us, because we could work with our partner to say, okay, you know, we realize that we can't have 10 different paper stocks to choose from, and we can't have, I don't know, digital foil printing on the cover anymore, but we can have these other things instead, and that's okay. That compromise is okay. But the room for sort of customization under traditional publishing maybe is not quite as easy as it was.
Yeah. Now, Adam, I want to stop and ask you a question. I mean, you mentioned before about having to work with your authors a little bit and maybe communicate some changes or communicate some, you know, constraints that they had to adhere to and get their feedback. Can you talk a little bit more about that? And, you know, what were some of those issues that you ran into and you know, how your authors responded and things like that?
You have to be really proactive about it. If you just sort of think about it for us, so you can't wait till the project is, say, in production before you start talking to the authors, because they've already shot all their screenshots at that point. So you go back to them and you say, you know, these don't work. You're basically creating work for them. So you have to sort of go up front and send them some samples and say, you know, maybe darker mid-tones than you would use normally, and this is how you would set your computer to do that, and maybe a little bit more of a feedback loop until they're there and you get something that'll work. You don't have to do that necessarily, and your mileage may vary depending on which technology you're using. And there's not one kind of digital printer. The technology is improving rapidly, and these sorts of conversations, I think, will diminish over time, and
sure,
which would be great, because I don't want to have to worry about that, and I definitely don't want to sacrifice quality. You know, I talk about trade-offs, and I recognize the trade-offs, but it's a trade-off trending in a positive direction if you're a publisher, right? Because the quality and the cost are coming down over time, so maybe you make some trade-offs in the short term, knowing that over time things like, you know, screenshot quality will improve and it will be less of a hassle and less of a quality concern for you.
Sure. Great. Thank you.
Sure. So here we are. This is about a year and a half later, and we have 950 titles in the POD program. So this has been really exciting for me. So this is sort of particular to O'Reilly. So we have this huge backlist of titles and a lot of niche titles, right, a lot of niche technologies that maybe weren't mainstream enough to exist in the traditional publishing cycle that I was talking about earlier. It wasn't viable for us to keep them in stock, you know, because you sell 20 a month or something like that. And for us to house that over, especially a backlist of thousands of titles, you know, that really adds up, and we couldn't possibly do it. So I really hated that, because I want to meet, you know, customer demand, especially old-time O'Reilly customers that maybe still use some niche technology that nobody, you know, uses anymore, and that, you know, we have the only existing book on that topic, and I want that to be available to customers. So one of the most exciting parts of this project for me was, you know, once we got sort of past the onboarding logistics and we're actually starting to print books and stuff, is going back and going through that backlist and looking about what that demand is, and also the production challenges of sort of reviving those books, bringing those files back and making them alive, you know, again. And I think that from sort of if you think about it from a revenue perspective, you think, oh, 20 titles a month, you know, who cares? You know, it's not even worth bothering with. And I think that's true if you think about it as like one title, right? But if, again, it's cumulative. So when I talk about long tail in this context, I'm definitely talking about long tail in a cumulative way across our backlist. So one title from our backlist with some old technology, it's not that valuable. But if you've got 500 or 600 and they're all selling 5, 10, 20 copies a month, all of a sudden you've actually got something. You know, you've really got something. And plus it's exciting because you're maybe servicing old customers that have been around for a long time and maybe newer customers that are coming to old technologies. It just really opens up your relationship with your customers and you're able to service their needs better. And that's important to O'Reilly because we have a direct-to-consumer business on O'Reilly.com. Inventory commitment has declined with savings in the seven figures over a very, very short period. And I think that will even get better as printing technologies get better and we're able to move more books into that POD bucket that I was talking about. And the fact that we are saving so much over such a short period of time is super exciting and really is bearing fruit for all the work and all the things that we were planning for over the years. So it's really nice to see this paying off after so much time. And I'll come back to the business opportunities. One, I was going to talk about errata and the new content. So this is also important for O'Reilly. We publish on technology that is changing fast. New versions of technology comes out, and sometimes you have an author, you know, who's really engaged, and the author wants to keep that book up to date. For instance, you know, maybe he or she wants to rewrite a chapter, you know, describing the new version of that software product. And before it was like, well, you know, your book will run out of stock in 6 months, and then maybe we can publish an update then. But now it's not like that at all. It's we can say, okay, you know, when do you want to do it? Let's do it. We'll work with the author, and then more sort of day to day, we try to address errata for those books, so basically flat out errors. So our customers will regularly send in errata via our website. You know, this is wrong and that is wrong. We work with the author to fix that errata and then push out updates. And so that has actually been a whole new program that we've had to spin up as a result of this, sort of thinking about how to sanely manage that has actually been really interesting. So now we're thinking we try to do maybe like 10 books per week where we're publishing some set of errata updates and pushing them out to customers. And I want to ramp that up even more where we're doing more, or maybe it's not even tied to a regular weekly schedule. It's just more of kind of an ongoing thing. So that has been really very awesome and interesting and given us a lot of opportunities for keeping our books up to date and keeping the books better and more relevant over time. And the new business opportunities, I think these are small, and we're just starting to see what the possibilities are here. So before, we didn't really have an easy way. We do trade shows and conferences, so we didn't really have an easy way of, say, slapping together a sort of quick book and then printing off a bunch of copies that look reasonably good without, I suppose you could do it at Kinko's and it costs you a fortune, you know, it's like $5,000 or something to print up a few hundred copies. But now we have a lot of flexibility. With this POD partner, we can kind of put something together quickly. It wouldn't go through the normal editorial production process, but works maybe as a sample of upcoming content or maybe an essay that we published on the website that got a lot of traction that we think is really relevant to the conference. So now we can put it into print, and we can print it up and hand it out, and it also works in with other sponsorship deals. We can maybe get sponsorship advertising that goes on that customized book, and then we can print that up and pass it out at the conference. So we're just sort of starting to really explore that, and it's just giving us flexibility that we're really just beginning to understand. So I should probably wrap up, but that's kind of where we are in 2012, and I think we're taking questions at the end. So at this point, I am going to hand it over to Kent.
Thanks, Adam. This is Kent Larson, and I'm with Bridgeport National Bindery. And all of what Adam has said over the course of the last few minutes is what I'm going to put into a manufacturer's perspective. So what he has kind of described, we have been on the very back end of that model where we are going in manufacturing books. So let me give you a brief background of who we are. And for those of you who know who I am and I have met you, you'll know that I get to be a little fast. So I'll try to slow it down here, not to get overly excited and spastic. So here we go. We are Bridgeport National Bindery. We're in Massachusetts, just down the road from where Adam was speaking, a company that's been around since 1947, so this is our 65th year, and we are primarily a library binder as a history. So we're taking January through June issues of Sports Illustrated and binding them together for a library. That's kind of the methodology we have, and honestly the mindset where every book matters. We have five divisions of different products. I manage the print-on-demand division. Case binding for printers needing high-quality finishing started back in 1991. In the fall of 91, we started getting calls from printers who were producing really glorified photocopies at that point, and they needed a source for case binding, which is our primary focus. And it wasn't until 03 when quantities dropped to small run lengths, one-offs, five-offs, where we decided that we needed to get into printing as opposed to putting printed material into a box and UPSing it to us to have us unload two books and bind them. It was much better to send the digits, and that's kind of how we backed into this. So we're a binder that backed up the production chain all the way to the very front end. And that's our history. So this next slide is going to show you a little bit of a progression here. On the far left is a long time ago in digital, what digital has done to production, where books were produced offset in large quantities and a very high expectation of quality. And about 20 years ago, digital printing entered it, the picture, and the quality was a little bit lower on the print side. Nevertheless, there was some desire to try to make sure the product was adequate. And I think Adam even, mentioned that even now, where today there's still some of that. We want to continue to get the better product. 10 years ago, digital printing started getting into the picture even more. Quantities started getting even lower. And the traditional production and distribution models were still in place, though. And so there was some confusion that was going on. Sometimes things would get produced in a run length of, 75 books, but being sent to a warehouse, and the warehouse had no idea what to do with them. So those models were how this kind of evolved. Fast forward to today, where we can't even remember what we did yesterday. You've got social media and smartphones and tablets and apps, and there is so much choice out there, both for physical and electronic formats. Digital printing allows that. It allows the production of quality and convenience. It's reducing or offering no inventory for warehouses for publishers who make that jump. And there's a big growth of direct-to-user fulfillment for printed books and obviously e-books, as you see that those numbers just grow year over year. And it really is truly about the long tail of the book, as Adam made reference to, that these books sometimes will only sell 20 books a month. So how do you put that into a distribution model? How do you put that into a manufacturing model that works? What does it mean for digital printing? There are basically three styles of publishers who seek us out, or I should say customers who seek us out, and are looking for new ways to sell their product. Primarily, the publishers have been few and far between, honestly, for Bridgeport National Bindery. It is not the traditional publisher that would knock on our doors. Moreover, it's the traditional publisher who would know how to connect with a book of one supplier. So it's really been a lot of innovators. It's been people who have thought differently about files, thought differently about production, and honestly, some publishers that have really taken a huge risk to take their backlog, their backlist, and digitize it, that have come to us. It is also e-commerce customers. It is people who are startups who, after the first web bust back in 2000, saw the opportunity then a decade ago to really get into content creation, whether it's author-driven or honestly soccer mom-driven, to build photo books. Those types of people started these internet portals, and they needed a back end for high-quality production. And my favorite is honestly the individuals. It is so fun for us to take phone calls or to get emails from individuals who are literally looking to have 50 books produced for their local congregation, or they're looking to have a 250 books produced for their high school, or they could be soft cover, they could be hard cover, and these are the people that we are dealing with. But the one thing that unites all of these three is that they know that their content matters, and they want it available in any format, and they want their content available whenever. They don't want to wait for it. They certainly want high quality, and they're looking at the total cost of having the book available, inventory-free, not simply just the cost of manufacturing. Bottom line is that each book ordered needs to make money for the customer and for us, so that it is truly a hot knife through butter all the way through the production channel. And so the question is, how do you do that? How does that whole process then work? And so this is the part of the talk when I get into the nuts and bolts of how we do it here at Bridgeport. And I'll preface this by simply saying we are just one solution. There are many, many ways to skin this cat, and we certainly do not have it all down, and there are many new ways to innovate. We just simply offer what we do, and many of you who are probably on the phone here are doing it just as good or probably better than we are. And so these are just some ways in which we do it that suits our customers. But basically, it is taking the first bullet point there is using EDI. The traditional publishers are used to an electronic data interchange where the metadata is passed. The files are not. The files are pretty set. So we receive physical books to scan, or more commonly these days, we receive digital files for the cover, digital files for the text, digital files for color inserts, digital files for a dust jacket, or digital files even for foldouts. And we put those into a database, and then we let the metadata or the EDI just ping our system day in and day out, and constantly sending orders to us. So what it would look like would be a customer who we set up to do, say, a batch pull once a day at 9 o'clock in the morning, could be a total of 78 books. 78 separate books, or it could be 78 books that are five titles of this paperback and five titles of that hardcover. It's all mixed, and it's totally driven by what the publisher wants to do, because this is an inventory-free system. It's all about not having anything sitting in a warehouse. The second bullet point is really designed for those folks who are these internet portals, the people who are building software solutions for photo books or for authors who can create an author and build democratize publishing. And what they're simply doing is uploading PDFs or creating the book inside the web-based template, and simply passing that through, and that routes eventually to us on the back end. And once we produce that, that file is coming in with not only the data, but it's also coming in with the text and with the cover file. And once we produce that, we purge it, so it never can be recycled, because that author, the very next minute or the very next day, could be updating page 5, and they are completely in control. And then the third bullet point, which is the one that I had said I really kind of have an affinity for because it's the individuals, this is where people will simply call us and say, I want to produce books. How do I do that? And we simply say, well, here's the FTP site. Here's a link. Drop in your PDF text. Drop in your PDF cover. And we'll do a proof for you. And once the proof is done, if you like it, then we'll just produce how many you want. Do you want 55? Do you want 82? What do you want? And that's what we do. So the key here is that this gives people various streams to get their products out. The next slide simply is where this digital workflow gives – there are different paths that our production model here deals with. It's taking all of these files on the front end from these three different sources, and then we have to integrate that with various print engines. And those print engines have to be, you know, black and white text. They have to be color. They have to be sized for dust jackets. They have to be sized for covers. And it's making sure those print engines are there and then integrated with the binding solutions. And so there are some that are inline. There are some that are nearline. And we have both paperback and case-bound systems that we are developing as well. How we do this with regards to binding, because we are really, honestly, a case binder. We do paperback binding, and that's more of a trade thing, but our forte clearly is in the hardcover world. So what Adam had mentioned earlier about some of those things that you might have to sacrifice over time, well, there are some things that you don't have to sacrifice in some ways. And how we play in this field is that we tend to offer solutions, whether they're trim sizes, whether they're page extents that go up to, you know, 1,800 pages or even 2,200 pages with a lighter stock, or doing things that are a little out of the ordinary. That's kind of our niche. That's kind of what we focus on. And so in that space, the case binding, we offer a several different styles. PVA, which is it's a polymer. It's a double fan adhesive process that allows us to then bind our books with a rounded spine, which is a very traditional look for many publishers and individuals, and it offers a sense of quality and a sense of class that people definitely pursue and want. It's not for every book that we do. The next one, PUR, is polyurethane, and that's perfect for the books that are being produced for really for the photo book industry. Incredibly strong and allows us to deal with the coated stocks. We do a lot of side stitching for children's books that are under, say, a quarter of an inch thick. We'll go ahead and put a side stitching on that and use that for the library and the children's market. And we are printing those covers on a number of different pieces of equipment. We have all kinds of – you think of a digital company out there making equipment, and we've probably got the equipment that we're producing on. And then we use cloth and also foil with dust jackets as well. Some paperbacks, saddle stitching, comb binding are also what we're doing. And the next slide gives you a little bit of an understanding of what exactly this looks like. So that upper left and the middle picture shows you a book that goes through that polymer, that PVA. That's a cold glue. It's not a hot melt. So that book coming out of that machine is not going to dry and get cased into a cover within a couple of hours. It's actually got a cure so that it will have the ability to then give you that round that you see in the upper right-hand corner. So this is really the methodology where we come from. And as I've talked, I've mentioned a lot about the front end, the system pulling in files. I've just mentioned a little bit about where we bind and how quality still matters, and there's a lot of that that's still important. But ultimately, to the profitability of where this goes, there is nothing more important than being able to communicate to a customer, whether they're a publisher, an online company, or an individual, that the very back end, the fulfillment, and the final, just basically getting the payment taken care of is all set. There's nothing that has to be done. It's all in line and backed up. That is key. And so that's where I'm going to head for the next few minutes here as I wind this presentation down. So basically, the digital back end solutions, you can imagine, each day here we might have, you know, on average 1,500 shipments going out. That could be 1,500 separate books, it would never be one shipment of 1,500. There's just no way it would be that way. Our average is 2.5 books per order, so you can do the math and figure out how many different things we're doing here. And every single one of those books that gets produced, we've got to invoice and back up and make sure that it is done correctly so that when we do the final billing, it backs up correctly. So a shipment can be 1 to 1,000. We're using UPS, FedEx, U.S. Postal Service, Common Carrier. We're shipping domestically. We're shipping internationally. The packing list, if you see that there, can reference the publisher information so that we are completely invisible. We are basically a back-end solution so that the person who ordered this, whether they're an individual online or whether they're a distributor or whether they're a bookstore, that carton, that box that goes to the end user is showing up looking like it came from the content provider, whether that, in this illustration here, whether it's John Wiley & Sons or whether it's Blurb. We love to be invisible. That's the way we do it. We're total back end. So all shipments have to be confirmed electronically. If we produce one book that has 86 pages, we need to make sure that those 86 pages are 86 pages at X amount per page, one bound book at X because it's a hardcover, and all of that is itemized. And each order has printing, binding, shipping, label itemized, invoicing by individual orders on a weekly, bi-monthly, or monthly basis. At the end of the day, that last line, their digital workflows and digital print provide publishers with an easier path to profit. And I think Adam alluded to that earlier where he just kind of said, once it's in that system, I don't think about it. It's just there. And that is our goal. We want to be that back-end manufacturer that says, here, you do it. And I just sit back and know that those titles just continue to happen, whether they're a publisher who has backlisted titles that just get put into this long tail, or whether they're a web-based portal that's creating content and it needs to be produced really well. That's what our whole goal is. Where digital printing is taking Bridgeport National Bindery, and I'm simply going to start by saying this. Digital printing is taking Bridgeport National Bindery in one place, and that is we do not sell binding or printing services. That's what we do, but what we have to sell is time. Our process here has got to be done in a quick turnaround. It's got to be done in quality. And at the end of the day, speed is what matters. And this is where the e-books have really grown. The tablets are just so immediate, and it's so much more convenient to this generation of humans to just get their information. That said, the physical book is never going to go away. It is always going to be there. There will always be a reason to have a physical printed book. The way in which it gets produced is different. And I heard a speaker last year make a comment that was absolutely very, very poignant, and that is it's not like Field of Dreams where it's if they build it, you will come. It's if they come, you'll build it. And that's kind of where we see ourselves. And so it's all about the time. You got to build it right, and you got to get it done quick. And what we have seen, and you'll forgive me, this slide is probably a little dated, but just showcases where the growth in POD will be, and that is, on average, our digital print operation has seen year-over-year growth of 38% or more. It's actually, we're even more than that this year, which is tremendous. And an article in Publishers Weekly of last year, it said that there were, you can read the statistics right there, I don't need to read them for you, but there are so many new titles produced in 2010. Majority of those were non-traditional. And so that doesn't even take into consideration the fact that there are these photo books that are being done on a day in and day out basis. And so what we see is that digital printing, we don't know anything else. We've never done offset. We've only gotten into digital. We see digital printing as really the future, not only of our business, but really of where printing is heading. So those are the models that we have adopted. That's the kind of the niche that we play in. And we see growth happening. So for any of you out there who have invested or are looking to invest in this kind of model, whether you're a manufacturer or whether you're a publisher, it makes a whole lot of sense to put things into that long tail. And I'll just conclude by simply saying that we have been living in the world of really the scientific, technical, medical market, kind of was the first market to kind of get into this, and then it has gotten into, like, the photo book space and people who are dealing with, you know, there's higher margins there. The next thing to come is how are we going to make this work so that trade can get more involved, or is there going to be a way in which there is going to be just the ability to look and say financially it doesn't make sense. The models that exist, work is going to come back to America and not going to be produced overseas in long run lengths. It's going to be produced here in short quantities and batches, and people are willing to pay a little bit more for that. Who knows if that's what's going to happen? But the fine art community right now is starting to realize that there's some digital printing that can be done one-off in small batches and not necessarily have to go to large, long run lengths overseas. And so that's where we see some interesting things happening in the next couple of years.
Great. Kent, thank you very much. That was a very, very good perspective in terms of, you know, what's really going on with digital print technology for book publishing and some of the opportunities that are there with digital print and on demand. You know, we have a number of questions that have come up. I just have a few recommendations and conclusions to go through, and then we'll put up some questions for Adam and Kent to answer. Just kind of in summary here, you know, publishers that take advantage of digital print technology, they're really going to be able to drive profits from their print titles by with a number of different reasons, for getting support for complex content management and distribution workflows, reducing or eliminating physical inventory and warehouse space, getting access to logistical and warehousing services, and tight integration throughout the value chain. These types of benefits really help streamline the business and production processes related to short-run or on-demand printing. They really keep costs down and maximize profits for publishers that want to be more flexible in the way that they produce book titles. You know, digital print technology enables publishers to explore new supply chain models and even new business models. While publishers have a variety of services that you could conduct in-house related to production, some processes can now be outsourced to a digital print partner, somebody like Bridgeport National Bindery, to free up some internal resources and explore new opportunities, or simply to develop a more productive workflow when it comes to digital printing. In terms of recommendations, publishers really need to evaluate kind of the build, buy, or partner scenario when it comes to short-run or on-demand printing to kind of determine your company's approach to this. In terms of book manufacturers, looking ahead, book manufacturers that offer digital printing services continue to evolve and make their solutions more productive, more flexible for book publishers, more variety of substrates, more support for full color, a lot of more capabilities that decrease the constraints that are put on on-demand digital printing. These manufacturers will continue to automate their workflows to help reduce costs, even on the shortest of runs. They're going to update their core printing technologies for more productivity and higher quality, and they'll integrate more tightly with the supply chain and offer a broader array of electronic publishing solutions for multi-channel delivery. That's an area where we see some potential as well. And just to summarize, you know, it's clear that book publishers realize there's tremendous benefits to digital print technology as they seek out areas of growth in a very much changing industry and evolving industry. As we noted earlier, print book titles still comprise the majority of revenues for book publishers, and those publishers want to ensure that those printed books remain profitable for them, even when e-books are growing in use and when the revenue source is diversifying. And so as a result, in the next 3 years, publishers expect to continue to aggressively shift their production process from offset to digital to help meet these goals. And by using digital print technology, opportunity is created to introduce new titles with less risk and reintroduce existing titles, that kind of long-tail opportunity that we talked about, to go out to new audiences or audiences that could not previously be reached. It can open up distribution channels. It can reduce risk and increase capital. It can encourage new business models, and ultimately digital technology can drive profits. You know, that's just a summary of what we've talked about today. I think it's been a great discussion, presentations that we had from Adam and Kent. I want to jump to a few questions as we have about 6 or 7 minutes left on the call here. So as I look through the Q&A, I'll take this first question to Adam. One person asked in terms of the role of the cloud and how you're using that within your business. I mean, can you comment on that a little bit? What role does it have in your business, and what role do you see it playing in the future, particularly with the storage of digital content for being used for digital printing, those types of things?
Sure. Brian, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Sorry, I was on mute there momentarily. So the cloud. Gosh, I don't know. I imagine as cloud technology gets cheaper, we will use it more frequently than we do now for things like archiving. Right now, we use a lot of cloud technology for spinning up experimental web applications and whatnot relating to publishing technology experiments and one-offs that we're doing, but not so much related to this digital printing forum per se. So I don't personally use vendor-supplied storage, although I do appreciate when a vendor keeps my files on storage, because there have been a few times when I've needed it as a backup. But personally, one of the things I really try to do is have a really strong backup system here at O'Reilly, and moving that to the cloud, yes, maybe as it gets cheaper. And then in that case, I would probably use something like Amazon's S3 or one of the other services rather than maybe a vendor by vendor, a print vendor, than I would anything else.
Sure. Okay. Great. Thanks for that perspective.
Sure.
And we have a question for Kent here in terms of and I'll kind of paraphrase this one a little bit, but could you talk about the waste with digital print technology and I guess, how much waste is there in your process? And I would assume, because it's a book of one, not much, but, how do you account for that? How do you ensure you have the least amount of waste possible in digital print book production?
It's a great question. We generally, honestly, don't have any waste. We try not to have anything in our process where we print anything extra or have any waste. So you can imagine an average day we're getting books in for quantities of one. Some books are quantity of 50. We're producing the exact order that comes in. Now, that said, obviously technology is technology, and you're going to get a paper jam or you're going to have maybe some damage in the process. What we simply do is as there is a paper jam or something were to happen to that book, we will reprint pages. We will not reprint a whole entire book. If there is a problem with an order, we will repair it rather than try to reprint it. There are certain internal reprint rates that we monitor pretty carefully, and we use those rates to then go back to our various digital printers, vendors, to be able to say, hey guys, this is something that we've been seeing as a problem with your press, and so we're able to track that. Ironically, we had gotten into traditional edition binding back in the late 80s, and we went to people and said, hey guys, we're Bridgeport National Bindery, send us your press sheets and we'll fold and gather and smice sew and make long runs for you. And we were terrible at it because we would take an inordinate amount of time we don't want to waste anything. So our mindset is clearly geared towards no waste, and we monitor that very carefully.
Okay, great. And I guess this is a question for both of you, if you have a perspective on this, and Adam, you might have a little bit more, but, can you talk a little bit, and I know it's probably dependent on variables, but can you talk a little bit about the per unit cost of how digital print compares with something like offset? You mentioned that the cost for a long time was too high, but it's finally not cost prohibitive anymore. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's comparable for us. It's comparable for one color titles to traditional offset.
Okay.
It becomes a little bit less. It trends toward, as the page count gets really higher, really high. Like I mentioned some of the old titles that we have 800, 1,000 pages. Pages, offset sort of clobbers POD in that case, but still, I mean, overall, especially when you consider that we do a lot more short books, it sort of evens out in the end. So per unit cost is very comparable.
Sure. Okay. Great. And I think I have time for maybe one or two more questions. And there's a lot of great ones up here. This one's for Kent in terms of, and there's been a few people that have asked about this. In terms of some of the constraints around paper type, trim size, those types of things, where do you see that going in terms of being able to open that up or being a little bit more flexible in terms of substrate choice, trim size choice, and obviously you're doing hardcover and things like that, so also the different types of case binding and things like that. Where do you see that going over the next few years?
Good question. For the on-demand, the true one-off program, we have 4 papers that we run for black and white, and we have 5 papers that we run for color. 6 papers that we now run for color. You pretty much want to keep it constrained. However, when we do short runs that are kind of more of a manual process, and a short run to us is a run length of 25 or higher, we will entertain special papers. We will entertain going to different trim sizes. So there's a little bit more flexibility on our end. I honestly think that the model going forward is going to be to get even more restrictive for the one-offs, because it's going to allow speed. Because speed is going to ultimately matter more than what the substrate is or what the trim size is, in terms of my opinion. That said, if someone wants to do a little bit more of a production run of over 25 books, there is a little bit more flexibility there. But I think the only way to really scale this is to really keep your guard up towards limiting certain trim sizes and certain page counts, and then eventually that's where you will drive out cost and allow your product to be made affordably and very quick, because I think time sells.
Sure, great. That's a great perspective, and I think we're at the top of the hour right now, so I think we're going to have to leave it at that. We've got lots of great questions, and so we'll work to coordinate that with the speakers and make sure we get answers for everybody. But Adam and Ken, thank you very much for your time today. Great presentations. I think you provided a lot of great insight. And thank you, everybody out there, for joining this webinar today. And I hope you have got a lot out of it, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.